You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll get our weekly check of the top news stories from around the state with Rob Menser from the USA Today Network, Wisconsin.
First, if you've been to your local farmer's market over the past couple weeks, you might have seen some stone fruit, maybe peaches, cherries, plums, apricots. For this week's Food Friday, we challenged regular guest Lori Skelton to work these in-season fruits into her cooking, especially her savory cooking.
And what about you? Have you ever cooked with stone fruit? What is your favorite kind of recipe that has peaches and cherries and plums and apricots in it? And do you have a favorite way to cook with this kind of fruit variety? Any questions about cooking with stone fruit and incorporating it into stuff that might be more savory? You can call us now at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your advice, and your recipes. That's 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You'll find a recipe there. Lori Skelton joins us in the studio now to talk about her adventures with stone fruit over the last few weeks. She's one of our in-house foodies here at WPR and a regular Food Friday guest. Lori, welcome back.
Hi there.
So what is a stone fruit, definition-wise?
Definition-wise, it's a fruit where an outer, I guess you'd call it a fleshy part of the fruit, is going to surround a shell, but that's not the seed. The seed is actually the kernel that's inside it. And one of the few things I didn't have a chance to do, apparently you can break into those shells, take out the kernel, roast them, and then use that as a flavoring for creams or ice creams.
Huh.
The French call it noyau, the word for kernel in French. And apparently it tastes like the best almond ice cream you'd ever want to make. The thing is, you need a lot of pits to make that. And I just
and a
didn't
good
get
chisel, I guess.
There was some debate in the household as to what is the best way to break into them. Do you just use a hammer, or do you actually need to get your vice grips out?
Wow.
Yeah, it seems like a food processor. It would kill your food processor.
In about 2 seconds, yes.
So did you try this at all or not?
I'm hanging on to the pits. I think I'm just going to have to wait for an afternoon when I'm really, really angry with somebody and then just start wailing on them.
Wow. Well, Lori, one of the combinations that you explored and you got pretty inspired by was the idea of stone fruit with herbs. What got you going there?
What got me going there was somebody at the farmer's market, the folks at Carindale Farms. They were the first ones to have sour cherries at the market in early July. And I was asking, what do you use these for when you're doing something other than a pie? And they suggested basil. And I ended up using sour cherries with basil as a sauce. I also ended up making basil gelato, and with a little bit of sour cherry compote, I made a sundae out of that. Cherries and basil is a brilliant combination. Other herbs that seem to work really, really well: peaches with tarragon, apricots, and thyme. And then one of the recipes that I just tried this past weekend paired plums with rosemary. I've always done stone fruit recipes with spices, cinnamon, star anise, even cardamom. That's a no-brainer. But I've never really thought of working with fruit and herbs in this way before. And you can come up with some magical combinations.
You also mentioned that you've tried combining hot peppers, I think it was heat, along with the sweet.
Chili and fruit is always fun to play with. I even made a version of chili over the winter that had peaches in it. And so if you've got any extra fruit around and maybe it's already been grilled or roasted, you can crush that up in your food processor and add it to barbecue sauce. It's really, really good there. You can put chopped fresh or dried fruits in your rice blends if you're making curries. So you've got the fruit with the curry to make a really good combination. And one of my favorite food websites is called Food 52, and they get a lot of people submitting their recipes and then voting on them. They have contests a lot. Their most recent contest was Best Way to Use Stone Fruit: braised pork in cherry ancho mole.
Wow.
I have got to try this next time I've got good cherries. And the lovely thing about cherries is when you get cherries fresh, all you have to do is throw them in the freezer. You don't even have to take the pits out. You can just throw them in the freezer. They'll be great for 6 months. So if you do have an abundance of cherries, you don't have to worry about using them up right away. So you can come back for braised pork and cherry ancho mole all the way up to Christmas.
And Laura, you mentioned pitting cherries, which is something that can be kind of a drag when you've got these delicious cherries and it's messy and it stains. And if you've got kids, you can imagine the rest of that story. Do you subscribe to getting a cherry pitter, or do you just do it the old-fashioned way? What do you do?
I have yet to get a cherry pitter. I have yet to find one kind of cherry pitter that people seem to agree on. So I either use a paring knife, or if I don't mind leaving a little bit of the fruit clinging to the pit, poke it through with a chopstick is a really good way to do it. Or I gather some people will use a straw, but straws tend to split on me if I do that. So I use a chopstick.
I go with a knife and an apron to be sure, because those things really stain.
There was one day when it was a beautiful, relatively cool day out of doors. So I just set up a plastic table in the backyard and pitted a bunch of cherries and then hosed down the table when I was done.
Oh, yeah, that's a great
smart
idea.
Yeah.
We're talking to Lori Skelton, getting lots of great ideas on cooking with stone fruit, peaches, cherries, you name it, but not just, you know, pies and desserts, getting them into savory dishes. And let's get into a recipe now, Lori. We've got this one on our Central Time Facebook page. Roasted chicken thighs you made with peaches, basil, and ginger. We tried this. You brought it in. It was really good. And it didn't, it wasn't super peachy. It wasn't super sweet.
This one surprised me. I've cooked with peaches quite often before, but always when I've been using them as a sauce for something, when other things were added. Again, a lot of spices or other fruits. Peaches would be a component of something. I was skeptical of this recipe by how simple it was. It was just put a little bit of sherry and olive oil in a baking pan, add some fresh garlic and fresh ginger, throw on your chicken thighs on top of that, and then I ended up using twice the amount of basil that the recipe called for. Also, I was using lemon basil instead of straight basil. You throw that in the oven, and in 40 minutes, you've got dinner. I was expecting the peaches to have broken down. I was expecting this to be watery, to be bland, even with fresh ginger. And boy, was I wrong. This was a huge hit when I brought it in for Wisconsin Public Radio colleagues to try. And I'm definitely going to be making this one again. Super easy and absolutely delicious.
It's part of the joy of cooking with stone fruit like this that it tastes like summer, and we're so used to just grabbing a peach or whatever and just taking a chomp out of it, but this way you can play with a little more and extend that summeriness to other dishes.
I was specifically focused on stone fruits that come from Door County at this time of the year, because most of what we get in the supermarket is created to withstand long rides in a truck from California, and the flavor just isn't there. And I honestly thought that I'd be just enjoying great, fresh Wisconsin fruit all on its own, that it shouldn't be part of a recipe. Again, I was wrong. Having that extra flavor really does make a difference in whatever you're cooking. So yes, we have a relatively short season for these things. You're right, it does taste of summer when they are that good. But don't be afraid to go ahead and use them in recipes, even if they are coming fresh from the farm just down the road. It does make a difference, and it may give you ideas for what to do when you only have frozen peaches or canned cherries to work with later.
Had a couple of Facebook recipe recommendations from Chris. Chris says, found a great recipe for a peach barbecue sauce for chicken wings online. Yummy,
yes.
Chris writes. And part two, also plums with thyme and dry sherry rolled into a pork roast. Yummy twice. Pork seems like it's going to go well. Pork just seems to go well with fruit, period.
Pork does go well with fruit. I've done a lot of recipes with pork and peaches over the years. And when I first started working on this particular program, a lot of the suggestions I got were pork and prunes or pork and plums, and I ended up not picking the usual things I've done in the past, which would be cook a plum chutney with brown sugar and mustard seeds, or braise the pork with plums and soy sauce and honey, or mix some caramelized onion or caramelized fennel and use that to stuff pork. This was a recipe for pork tenderloin where you roasted the pork separately from the prunes, from the plums, I should say, and the plums were roasted with whole branches of rosemary, balsamic vinegar, a little bit of sugar, and vanilla. Hmm. And I thought, oh, really? And again, it was marvelous. I ended up using a lot less sugar than what the recipe called for, and that did let the wonderful floral aroma of the vanilla play with the floral aroma of the plums. And plums can be difficult because, especially if they are any kind of variant of a prune plum, the skin is going to be very, very tart. It's very hard to pick up a plum sometimes, even when it's ripe, and bite into it and enjoy it because you're always going to be dealing with skin that's not the same as what the fruit is. And that can be a little bit off-putting for some people, which is why cooking with plums can be so grand. Pork is a natural with plums. Thyme and dry sherry makes perfect sense to me. The other lovely thing about plums is that if you are gleaning them from the ground after they've gotten a little bit squishy and have fallen from the tree, which is the way a lot of us are introduced to plums. If you're just walking along a country road and you see a plum tree by the side of the road, you pick up a plum off the ground. If your plums are a little bit squishy, those actually make the best plum jam. And you can make a really easy plum jam with the freezer method. There are a number of ways to do freezer jam that you can find online. Plum jam is super easy and a great way to hang on to fruit that would have just gone to waste otherwise.
We're talking with Lori Skelton right now about cooking with stone fruit on this Food Friday.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite way to cook with things like cherries, peaches, apricots, and plums? Have you gotten creative cooking with fruit, not just in dessert, maybe in a chicken or pork dish? What are some of your favorite stone fruit recipes? Do you have tips, advice for cooking with these fruits? And any questions? Do you need some advice from Lori? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post and find a recipe on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation and get to your calls in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our discussion now with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton, and we're talking today about cooking with stone fruit, things like plums and apricots and peaches.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how to cook with things like peaches and plums and cherries? Have you ever done this? Do you have creative dishes that you make? Maybe a special treat, maybe something you make all the time, maybe something you make when those fruits are in season. Call in now at 800-642-1234 or get some advice from Lori, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Lori, I want to talk about the favorite recipe, at least for me, that you made. And I missed the cheesecake one, so that one's not in the running. But you made a delicious couscous salad, and it had smoked salmon.
Oh, yeah.
And
actually, fresh salmon.
Fresh salmon, yeah. Some herbs, and cherries. Tell us about that.
All right. Pork and plums, that I could understand. Chicken and peaches, well, I'd have chicken salad with fresh peaches in it, so I guess the roasting wasn't too far off. But cherries and salmon, that really surprised me. And this was actually sent to me by Judith Sears-Poisson when she saw it earlier this summer in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's a great salad. You not only have sliced fresh cherries in the salad with pearl couscous, the big couscous, and a little bit of goat cheese and fresh cucumber and your salmon, it comes with a roasted cherry vinaigrette. Again, this was a real surprise where you take just basic sweet Bing cherries, the ones you can find in the grocery store. You don't have to wait for the farmer's market for these. Just basic black Bing cherries that you take the pits out of and you roast them with a little bit of sugar. And then you blend them in a blender with olive oil, white wine vinegar, Dijon mustard, lemon juice, and salt and pepper. It comes out looking like the worst color of fuchsia you can imagine, but it is so, so tasty. And for even with the sugar, because you've got them roasted and you've brought out other flavors in the cherries, it didn't taste sickly sweet at all. As a matter of fact, I think you said when we were tasting this that it tasted more like a balsamic vinaigrette, and there was no balsamic vinegar in it. It was white wine, about as mild a vinegar as you could get.
You can see a Facebook Live video, not live anymore, I guess, but we did a live tasting on Facebook, and if you ever wonder what we look like when we talk, you can look at us eating that food and talking about it. Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Eric is on the line in Madison. Eric, hi.
Hi. I have a family recipe for plum dumplings that came from my grandmother from southern Germany. It is vegetarian German, and that's not an oxymoron.
No.
It uses fresh Italian prune plums, so they're only in season for a week or two. And you take a ripe prune plum, and you wrap it in a dough that you've made from boiled salad potatoes. So it's a red-skinned potato, a low-starch potato. You boil the potatoes, you peel them. Then you rice them in a hand ricer, and you rice it onto a cloth like a kitchen towel so that the riced potato has a chance to cool off and to dry a little bit. You dust it with a little bit of white flour, and then you knead it to make a dough. It's going to be kind of a breakable dough. It's not a real good solid bread dough. And you wrap about a quarter inch thick layer of this dough around the prune plum, which you've washed, and then you boil it as if it was a bagel. And you drop it into boiling water, and as the prune plum starts to cook through, the dumpling will float up to the surface.
Now, is the pit still in there all along?
The pit is in there. You've done nothing to the prune plum except washed it.
Huh.
I think Lori's going to be making this. She's taking a lot of notes on this one.
Because somebody did suggest that they had a recipe for plum dumplings, but she didn't give me the recipe because she said you need to take a statin after you've made it. So I think she was a little bit worried about my health at this point. But I've never heard of dumplings with a potato dough. And it's just potato and flour. Any spices in there? Any sugar?
Not yet. The sweetness comes next. Once it floats and it's done cooking, you can tell because it's floated to the surface, you scoop it out with a slotted spoon, and you put it in a frying pan that has buttered and sugared breadcrumbs. Roll the outside of the dumpling, and you coat the whole outside with the buttered, sugary breadcrumbs.
Okay.
And then you serve it with sour cream that's been cut with milk and sugar and cinnamon. You have a cold sour cream, a sweet, cinnamony, cold sour cream sauce on these hot, fresh dumplings, and you eat till you burst.
That sounds fantastic,
yeah.
Eric.
Precisely.
Wow.
Okay. The method has been noted. I may just, especially because as the summer has gone on, different fruits have been coming into season, and it's only in the last couple of weeks that plums have started to show up. So if there are any plums at the market this weekend that are of that Italian prune variety, the ones that are dark purple and a little bit elongated, those and a little bit smaller also, I will definitely give this a shot. Thank you for giving me that recipe.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm one of those people, Lori, who doesn't like the bitterness in the skin. My family loves it, but I can't stand it because of the contrast. So this is a great one to try. Well, Eric, thanks a lot for that. And let's go next to AJ in Milwaukee. AJ, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share about stone fruit?
So what we like to do is pickle the stone fruit because you can preserve it for, you know, next winter and things like that. And a lot of the different spices that you can use in the pickling process actually gives, you know, that those stone fruit new life and new other applications in terms of savory dishes. Like, it works really well as, like, a garnish on top of meat because you've got that acid that'll cut that rich piece of meat. You know, you can put it in risotto and things like that or with fish. And we love to pickle, like pickled cherries, pickled peaches, pickled plums.
Yep.
All of it works just really, really well.
I did put up some pickled cherries. I did pickled cherries and then brandied cherries using Alice Waters' recipes from Chez Panisse. And I was really surprised. She had allspice and cinnamon and hot chili peppers in her pickle. So they're not quite ready to eat yet, but, oh, I agree with you. What is your favorite way to pickle a peach?
To pickle what, pardon me?
The peach.
The peach. So I like to do a little bit of coriander, a little bit of ginger, and a little bit of chili, and some rice wine vinegar works really well.
That is brilliant.
You have to chop them up before you pickle them? I imagine with a peach you would have to do slices or something, right?
AJ, what do you think?
Cut them in half, twist them off, pop the pit out, and just pickle the halves.
Ooh, I like
that. Okay.
That's a great idea.
That's a fantastic, because then you're still going to have a little bit of fruit in the middle that's not quite as pickled, right?
Yeah. So that's why by cutting them in half and then packing them in the jar, it just tends to work better. I've noticed that over the length of time sitting in the liquid and then during the pickling process, they don't get as mushy.
That is brilliant. Thank
you. Fantastic. Thank you so much, AJ. We haven't gotten into apricots as much. I don't even know when apricots are in season, honestly.
We had them about a month ago, a very short season for them in Wisconsin. I like apricots, but I've never been blown away by the ones I get in the store. A couple of weeks ago on the Great British Baking Show, somebody made something with fresh apricots, and Mary Berry noted that because you use fresh apricots, this will be very sharp. And I'm thinking, I've never tasted a sharp apricot in my life until I had some from Egg Harbor. It's Barnard Farms, and they were amazing. Sharp, bright, complex flavor. I ended up using those for a compote with Mario Batali's take on American Indian pudding, which has a lot of molasses in it. Again, that sharp fruit against that heavy sweetness. Beautiful, beautiful contrast. And the other one recipe that I really, really loved was marinating lamb in a heavy curry sauce for what they call a sossati in South Africa, a skewered lamb kebab that's served with apricots on the skewer. First time I've ever grilled an apricot. It's brilliant.
Wow. So, Lori, has this changed your cooking life? Just briefly.
I've always enjoyed working with stone fruit. I'm looking forward to dams and plums that are coming in from Weston Antique Orchards very, very shortly. I've always enjoyed it, but having the concentration this time, I've gotten so many different ideas, and I'm going to be busy for a while.
Nice.
Lori, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's Lori Skelton, one of our cooks here at WPR, regular Food Friday guest. You can find a link to her recipe for roasted chicken thighs with peaches, basil, and ginger. That's over on the Central Time Facebook page. While you're there, still time for you to share your stone fruit savory food favorites.